Notice with me Hebrews chapter 11 here tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, just by way of introduction. I'm going to go back to with some of the different things, different directions I've gone. I've kind of not gotten back to the prayer series that started three weeks ago. But I want to just notice here tonight the theme, believing prayer. And I just want to take a look at this. And I want for us to remember, as I mentioned some of these passages, that we will be looking at the other side, you know, praying according to the Lord's will and all that. It's all different aspects of prayer and ministry of prayer. But I want you to consider here tonight that faith is absolutely essential in prayer. And let me just say it this way, as I was reflecting on my study and some of the things that I looked at in the scriptures and was reminded of, if we do not believe God is able and willing, why pray? It's a very practical question. If I do not believe that God is able and willing to answer this request, then why pray? Indeed, let's go a step further than that. As I was reflecting on that, if we do not believe that God is able and willing, we will not pray. In fact, that's why many times if somebody's discouraged because they don't get an answer from God that they're expecting, it's their unbelief that actually leads them into prayerlessness. And maybe we've had in our own lives at times when we are struggling in our prayer life just because we've not seen God work the way we expected. Notice it says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith, I believe this is the scriptural definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to consider faith is not simply mental assent. In other words, I know something to be true. It's not just that. It's not just knowing something. It's actually trusting the Lord because we know that truth. It's also not just wishful thinking. Well, I'm hopeful that such and such will take place. Faith is not just wishful thinking. But I want you to consider also, though, especially in our day of Word of Faith teaching and all that, faith is not a miracle a minute type of thing as well. Amen. Oh, well, I ask and boy, God's just going to do it. God may make us wait for a while. Right. And I believe I've said this before, but faith is also not merely a leap in the dark. Well, God, I hope you're out there somewhere. I think you're out there because the Bible says so. It's not a leap in the dark. I want you to consider again, it says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, if something has substance, it has it's got something to it, right? So again, we're not talking about just a leap in the dark. The evidence of things not seen. Now, there's things that we are not able to see. Like, for example, we didn't see creation, but we see the evidence of creation. So again, we see here that God gives us the definition of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to notice here, then verses 5 and 6, we give God gives us the example of Enoch here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, we also are going to be translated someday if the rapture comes before we die. Notice here, so this is actually a type or a picture of the raptured saints. But faith was the key to that. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. In fact, a child described it this way. I remember years ago. You know, God and Enoch were out walking one day, and they got so far from home, and God finally just said to Enoch, you know, you're so far from home, you might as well just come home with me. That's a pretty neat picture of how Enoch ended up going. Again, it says he was not found. That tells us that they were looking for him. It's like, where did Enoch go? You know, his family probably was looking for Enoch and couldn't find him. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, that before the rapture takes place, if it takes place in our lifetime, that people will know that we pleased God. And that's, of course, as we understand it, it all starts with salvation. But without faith, so here's the application to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, there's two things in particular that are mentioned that we must believe. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to notice, let's break that down a little bit here. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. So we must, first of all, believe that God exists. We must believe that he is. By the way, it wasn't that God was, But that God will be, he is. God is always present tense. He is, you know, as the eternal God, he is always present tense. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That lively hope speaks of a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I thank God that it's not like one Methodist that I overheard speaking about our neighbor after our neighbor's funeral. As she was explaining to her child what happens when somebody dies. We put them in the ground and that's it. She's walking down the street. It was like, wow, part of a Methodist church, and she believes you put them in the ground, that's it. I'm thankful that we have a lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's our inheritance. It is more secure than anything that we could get, any earthly inheritance that we could receive, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The word manifold speaks of a variety of temptations or a variety of trials. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now here's what I want you to see in verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. With our physical eyes, we've never seen God. So how do we know when we pray he's there to hear us? Through faith. Notice, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Notice again, as Peter's talking about here, the variety of trials that we may experience in our lives. But that trial of our faith is to strengthen our relationship with God. Notice, whom having not seen ye love. So again, we see here that we must believe that God is, that God exists. You think about this, praying and talking to someone you cannot see. If you prayed in public with the unsaved around, they might think you're crazy. You know, if you're talking to somebody in your car, you know, if somebody's there, that's always funny. Sometimes you see two people driving, riding in the front seat of a car. Both of them are talking on cell phones. It's like, are they talking to each other? It's like, but if you're riding in a car by yourself and you're talking, you're praising God, somebody driving by, it's like, ooh, let them think that. Because you're talking to somebody that we can't see with our physical eyes, but we can see through the eyes of faith. Whom having not seen ye love. That's a relationship that we have with God. So believing God exists, we can talk and pray to someone we cannot see. But we must also believe that he is a rewarder of them, those that diligently seek him. Notice me, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. God is a rewarder of those of them that diligently seek him. Matthew chapter 6, we see what Jesus said here in relation to his heavenly Father in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when thou prayest, as Jesus is talking here about motives in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I think it's Luke 18 that tells us what they're praying as they're standing on the street corner. I thank you, God, that I'm not like such and such. I tithe, I give. You think about all the things. You know, of course, the Bible says that their prayer didn't go anywhere. It says in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Notice in the secret place. Notice here the statement, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So again, faith is absolutely essential in prayer. So how strong is our faith? So how do we pray in faith? I don't believe we're going to cover all these tonight here, so we'll look at it next week, Lord willing. But first of all, we must believe all things are possible with God. We must believe that all things are possible with God. If we're asking God for something, we must believe that he is able to do that in his power. You don't need to turn there. We'll look at this here in a moment. Why don't you turn to Genesis 18 while I'm mentioning what Luke 1:37 says. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And of course, when you look at the context of that, that speaks of a virgin birth and also John the Baptist, who was the son of a couple that was well stricken in years. So we see two miraculous births in Luke chapter 1. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now in Genesis 18 we see something else here in relation to God's miraculous power. Genesis 18 verse 9 and following. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age." Right, so we have another miraculous birth conception here, even similar to Luke 1. Old and well stricken in age. That phrase is talking about the fact that they're not expecting children anymore. In fact, what I think is amazing in Luke chapter 1 is Gabriel tells Zacharias that thy prayer is heard. Now, let me ask you, do you think Zacharias and Elizabeth were praying for a child anymore when the Bible says they were old and well stricken in years? They probably were not continuing to pray like that. So it's almost like, in fact, years ago we heard a preacher say that it's almost like God put their prayer request in a file, filed it away until his perfect timing. And he pulls out that request, and all right, it's time. Go announce the child here. Notice again, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She physically could no longer have a child. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, she's laughing to herself, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Am I going to have the pleasure of having a child?" Unbelievable. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying..." Notice, the Lord is not confronting Sarah directly. Notice the Lord talks to Abraham first. But let me remind you that Abraham also laughed. When God, I think it's chapter 17, just the chapter before. Abraham laughed. "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I have a surety bear a child, which am old?" Notice the question that the Lord asks Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord himself asks Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? "At the time appointed," notice the appointed time, "I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." In fact, the name Isaac means laughter. The laughter of doubt became the laughter of joy as this child was born. So again, we see here God himself asks Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? I believe the Lord asks us that same question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Consider also Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, there's another statement here I want you to see about God's powerful ability. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 16. Notice Jeremiah says here, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying..." All right, so this is a promise that was given to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is experiencing persecution for the prophecies he's delivering from God. And God tells him to go ahead and purchase a property because that the Lord was going to allow Israel to return to the land. So notice after he cares for all of this evidence of this purchase, he prays to the Lord saying, "Ah, Lord God," notice exclamation point, "behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee." This is a prayer of conviction here. And then he goes on talking about the Lord's loving kindness and all of these things, all the attributes of God. In fact, at the end of verse 18, he calls him the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Again, he's praising God here. But you notice here again, the end of verse 17. There is nothing too hard for thee. If God can speak everything into existence, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Consider then towards the end of the chapter, verse 26. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Now he is asking the question, is there anything too hard for me? That's a conviction that Jeremiah has, but then the Lord begins to ask the question again, is there anything too hard for me? Now, notice with me Matthew chapter 9. I want you to see a couple of other passages in relation to God's ability. Do we really believe that God is able to do what we ask? Again, that's an aspect of faith that we need in prayer. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 and following. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus saith unto them, notice the question that Jesus asks, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Now, notice what he's asking. Do you believe that I am able to do this? They are asking to see. Now we live in a day when doctors think that they are God. You know, there's some amazing things that God has enabled the medical field to do today. And yet at the same time, it's not foolproof. I want you to consider, these men could not see. Jesus is asking, do you really believe that I'm able to do this? They said, Yea, Lord. Notice what he says here. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Notice, according to your faith, you'll receive an answer. Now, with that said, notice Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to notice a New Testament epistle statement here about God's power, God's ability. In many cases, I do not believe it's God's willingness or unwillingness to answer. Sometimes I believe it's our lack of faith in God's ability. Notice Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able. Now, I want you to notice how much he's able to do. He is able to do. It doesn't just say above all that we ask or think. Notice, God the Holy Spirit tells Paul to add some adjectives to this. Notice it says able to do exceeding, or are these adverbs? Abundantly, I think, is an adverb. I just thought about that. But it says able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I want you to think about something. What is the biggest prayer request you have ever asked God to do? What is the biggest thing you've ever asked God to do? You know what this verse says? God says, I'm able to do far more than that. I spoke everything into existence. So, all that you ask or think, what's the greatest thing you can ever think possible that God would be able to do? God says, I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Here's why. Notice, or I should say, according to the power that worketh in us, God's power working in us. Notice here's why God wants to do this. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God wants to get the glory for these great things. Believe all things are possible with God. Second of all, believe you'll receive an answer. Notice Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. Not only must we believe that God is able, we must also, when we pray, believe that we will receive an answer. Mark 11. Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, talking about Jesus, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus never performs a miracle for his own benefit. This is a teachable moment. Notice his disciples heard it. Jesus is not cursing this fig tree when nobody else is around. He's doing it so that his disciples can hear. So what's the purpose that he has in this? Notice verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Notice it's not just the leaves aren't just dropping off. This thing is withered up from the roots. This thing overnight, it dried up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. Now, when we went to Faith Baptist Bible College, in Old Testament history class and some of those classes that I would have in there, when the front curtains were open, they had in this central circle of concrete there where eventually they were planning to build someday, they had this sign. Of course, it was Faith Baptist Bible College, but they had this sign with this verse on it, Have faith in God. And I remember all the days daydreaming in class, looking out there. The Lord had that sign, and that'll be imprinted on my mind, because all the days we spent in that classroom, that sign was a reminder, have faith in God. Notice what Jesus says here, have faith in God. Now, again, the purpose of this was not just cursing this tree and withering up. Jesus is wanting to teach a lesson. Verse 23, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, again, we're gonna look at the other side of this, praying according to the Lord's will. But you notice again, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Notice we're praying with expectation here. Now, as I was doing some reading, I was reminded here of Word of Faith teacher Kenneth Hagin. Of course, he said that Jesus appeared to him and gave him this formula for faith. There's four steps, this formula for faith. Say it, do it, receive it, tell it. And he put it down in a booklet, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. Now, that's not what this is talking about here. Notice again, though, praying with expectation in prayer. Let me ask you again. If we don't believe that God is going to give us an answer, then why pray? But notice also this desire in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now, time out just a moment. Let's talk about desires a moment. What does Psalm 37 verse 4 say? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and what? He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I've said this before. We Americans read that verse this way. If I delight myself in God, he's going to give me what I want. The expensive sports cars that we were talking about earlier, right? That's not what that's saying. Delight thyself in the Lord, and what? He will give you the desires of your heart. See, if my delight is in God, God is going to give me the right desires. And if God gives me the right desires, he's going to be able to grant me my desires. Notice again what this says here. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, Lord, this is something you desire, so I know I can ask. So again, we're talking about praying according to God's desires, not the mansion on the hilltop in this lifetime. Because God's got one ready for us there in heaven, so he's not promising us a mansion here in this lifetime. Verse 25, notice there's a conditional aspect of this. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I want you to consider the absolute essential in prayer is faith. If we do not have faith in God, our prayers will be hindered. If we don't have faith in God, we cannot please God. If we don't have faith in God, we probably won't continue to pray long term. The Lord wants to grant us the desires of our hearts so that he can grant us our requests. So, how strong is our faith in God here tonight? Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, even as I was reflecting on this here a little while ago, strengthen my faith in you. And Lord, even as we see in Scripture, we even saw tonight, Lord, there's times when that's going to require trials. A trial of our faith. Lord, we don't like that. So Father, even as the disciples prayed, increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.